I'm going to talk to you about CAP, Christians Against Poverty. Who has heard of CAP before today? Nearly everybody. I'm pleased because we're getting quite big now. We're a national charity. We were started in Bradford in 1996 by a man called John Kirkby. We're growing very fast, and I've been invited to come and tell you as much as I can in 30 minutes. If I see people starting to walk out in less than 30 minutes, I'll grumble at you. If you walk out after 30 minutes, I'll grumble at me because I haven't obviously been able to hold you. But never mind, let's try. Does this work? Yes. Can you read that? I'm going to make 3 points. My vicar, Church of England, says all good sermons have 3 points. So I'm going to have 3 points. It doesn't guarantee it'll be a good talk, but it gives it a chance. So point two is going to be what CAP does. Point three is going to be how you can help. You'd be disappointed if I didn't come and ask you for help, I know. But point one is why do we do it? Let's start on point one. And you probably know these Bible passages better than I do. Luke chapter 4 is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's been in the desert. He's been tempted by the devil. He comes back to society in the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes into the temple and they give him the scroll of Isaiah. And he reads from Isaiah, God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. I knew you'd know it better than me. And that was Jesus quoting from Isaiah. And then at the end of what he'd read, Jesus sat down and said, today this prophecy has come true. In other words, he, Jesus, had come to preach good news to the poor. And now we know where Jesus is. We know the story of Jesus. We know he died and he rose and he's reigning now in heaven. He has left us to do the work that he came to do. So if Jesus' work was to come and look after the poor, be good news to the poor, then nowadays that is our job to look after the poor. And it may well be the poor in our own church, in our own society. But Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. It may well be that we're called to look after not just our own friends and neighbours, but people from far abroad as well. And some of the lovely things we've heard that your church is getting involved with, I'm quite sure, are answering that challenge by Jesus to get involved with helping the poor. The other passage we refer to, we take as our mandate, is the Matthew chapter 25. This is the end of Jesus' teaching. In fact, if you look at Matthew chapter 26, if your Bible in this church is the same as the Bible in my church, chapter 26 starts off by saying, when Jesus had finished saying all these things. So what was the last thing he talked about? The end of Matthew chapter 25, you'll know it better than me, the story of the sheep and the goats. And to paraphrase, the sheep are the good guys, they get to go to heaven. The goats are the bad guys, and they go to the other place. I've always been an accountant. I'm not a theologian. Don't ask me to explain heaven and hell to you. You've got far better experience here. You probably know more about it than I do. But Jesus is very clear that it's a good thing to do. I want to encourage you, he said, to be a sheep. And what do the sheep do? They look after the cold, the hungry, the naked, those in prison, those who are poor. In all sorts of ways, Jesus says, look after those and you'll go to heaven. And I think he says, if you don't, you won't. But I don't want to get into that theology too much. It's just Jesus is saying, I want you to look after the poor. This is an important part of the ministry that I'm leaving my disciples to do. And we are his disciples today. So these two scriptures we take as our mandate at Christians Against Poverty. We believe that it's every Christian's job to get involved in whatever ways the Holy Spirit, God alive today, in whatever ways he tells us to get involved with helping the poor in whatever ways it means, not just financially, poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We are here to bless the poor in Jesus' name. Point number one. All right, is everybody nodding? No, I haven't seen anybody nod off, but I hope nods of agreement. Yeah. And if you just look at those things, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, Jesus says in Matthew 25, you know. We did a survey in CAP a couple of years ago. We've now had thousands of clients. Two-thirds of them come to us saying they've missed meals because they can't afford food. Two-thirds of the thousands of clients who come to us. And this is not a third world country. This is England, where we live. Two-thirds of the people who come to us can't afford enough food. Jesus says, I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Well, okay, we can visit people in prisons, in jail. But listen, a lot of people nowadays, you won't believe me, but please do, are prisoners in their own home. I visited one CAP client. We'd got an arrangement to go and meet her. She was needed help with her debts. And I went with a friend of mine. We knocked on her door and I heard a scuffling inside. And she came to the door quite wisely. Before she opened the door, she said, who is it? And I said, it's John from Christians Against Poverty. And she said, okay, come in then. And you could hear the chain come off the door. And she opened the door a crack and looked at, you know, it looked like us. We'd never met before, but we looked, you know, respectable. And she let us in and closed the door and put the chain back on very quickly. And we sat down and started to talk to her. And half an hour later, there was another knock at the door. We were there. And she jumped up from the seat she was sitting on and she ran upstairs and said, it'll be the landlord, tell him I'm not in. Stupid thing to say anyway. She was in prison in her own home. She was afraid to go out because she owed the landlord rent. She owed a lot of other people a lot of money. And if she went out, there might be a debt collector hiding behind a hedge. There might be a bailiff ready to put his foot in the door and take her television or her sofa or her fridge or whatever bailiffs do to try and recover money from people who lend them money. She was a prisoner in her own home. And 60% of the clients who come to us say they have lived in fear in our country, in England, in fear of the things that might happen to them because they're in debt. They only come to us because they're in debt. So 60% have lived in fear. This is in our country. I was a grammar school boy and I went to university. I've been in debt and I've had a few troubles, but I've never been in serious debt like so many people are today. And until I started working for CAP, I never really met a lot of the people in our society who are so badly struggling. And it's getting worse and worse. You've seen on the news recently, universal credit and the problems that's causing. Good idea in principle, maybe, but causing problems. Lots of people in this country living in fear because of debt. I was ill and you looked after me. 65%, again, two-thirds, it's a different two-thirds, I guess, visited their doctor with stress caused by their debts. It's making people ill. It's burdening the National Health Service because people are in debt and they don't know what to do. That's the situation in this country today. And our founder, John Kirkby, was in debt himself in 1996 and managed to work his way out of debt by ringing up his creditors and by saying, look, I'm in debt. If you send bailiffs to me, I'll go bankrupt and you'll get nothing. If you give me time, I will be able to pay off the debts slowly. So please stop charging me interest, stop putting bank charges on what I owe you, and I'll pay you off over the next year or two. And they accepted that, and he did. He worked his way out of almost bankruptcy, and he got himself debt-free. And he said to himself, I'm quite a bright financial person. He was modest as well, but that was true. He said, if I can work my way out of debt like this, I wonder how many people there are in this country who are in debt like I was, but haven't got the gift of the gab or the experience or the way of persuading banks, credit card companies to go gentle on them whilst they pay it off. And he said, I must set up a charity to help them. and he set up Christians Against Poverty in his own bedroom in 1996, 21 years ago. And now it's grown, it's grown, it's grown. We help people who are in debt. We don't just do that. We also help people to avoid debt. The way I put it is like this. My wife was a GP. She's retired now. She was a GP. When she was a doctor, half her time was helping people who were ill to get better. The other half of her time was teaching people healthy living so they might never get ill. Don't smoke too much. Don't drink too much. Don't do too little exercise or too much exercise. Sensible ways of living help people not to get ill. Sensible ways of budgeting your own money help people to avoid getting into debt. Little bit of scripture here. Test. Who's heard the phrase, neither a lender nor a borrower be? Fairly well known. Which book of the Bible does it come from? Trick question, forgive me. It's in Shakespeare. It's Hamlet. It's not biblical. It's good earthly logic. Neither a lender nor a borrower be. If you're a lender, you risk losing your money. If you're a borrower, you're in trouble. You've got to pay it back. It's good earthly logic, neither to be a lender nor a borrower. But it's not biblical. And Jesus, in the best sermon ever told, said, give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Jesus then had a wonderful opportunity to say, oh, by the way, don't get into debts, chaps. Neither a lender nor a borrower be. Jesus did not say that. He said, don't turn away from somebody who wants to borrow from. So borrowing, reasonable borrowing, is very sensible. And a lot of us have had mortgages in our lives. Sometimes I go to churches and I look around and I say, I have to admit, I think I'm the oldest person here. I'm looking around now and I honestly don't think I am, but we won't go into that. But a lot of us have had mortgages. I managed to pay my mortgage off just before I retired. And there was nothing wrong, I believe, in having a mortgage to help you buy a house. Maybe, you know, perhaps you run a business and you need to buy a van. So you take a bank loan to buy the van. And with the van, you can run a business and pay the loan back. Sensible borrowing is very good, very helpful. That those who have money can lend to those who need it. And that's the way the world works. And that was almost encouraged by Jesus. But too much borrowing is wrong. And a lot of people find themselves in too much debt nowadays. And with interest rates high, they can't pay their debts back. Over 10 years, I must have met 100 families to help them out of their debt. What do you think the highest rate of interest I have ever seen on a loan agreement? Shout. 25%. I've seen higher than that. 99%. I've seen higher than that. 1,000%. Don't be silly, sir. I've seen far higher than that. I've seen 5,200% APR, actual percentage rent. He'd borrowed £100 to repay £200 1 week later. £100 to £200, that's 100% per week. 52 weeks a year, that's 5,200% actual percentage rate. People, the poorest people in this country, are borrowing at the highest possible rate. If you watch daytime television, nobody's going to admit that with your pastor sitting here. If you watch daytime television, a lot of payday lenders, Wonga is the best known one, but there are many others. There's Quick Quid, there's Sunny Loans, there's Piggy Bank, there's lots of, and you see them on daytime television, so I'm told. And when I see them, down at the bottom, nearly always, it says APR, 1,292%. Not quite sure where they come from there. 1,292%. And we have a big fuss in the country last week because the bank rate goes from a quarter up to a half. And these people are borrowing at 1,292%. That's interest and charges. To work out an APR, you have to allow for interest and charges. It is crazy. So what we need to do is teach this country how not to get into those circumstances, how to budget wisely. I haven't met David and Hannah yet. Who are David and Hannah? They're here. Hello, David. And Hannah? Right, splendid, splendid. You are the CAP money coaches. CAP realized there were so many people coming to us for debt help, they needed to set up something to help people avoid getting into debt. And we help people to avoid getting into debt by running the CAP money course. The CAP money course is for everyone. I encourage everyone in the church to get registered with David and Hannah to go on the CAP money course as soon as you can. I've run the CAP money course both in Harrow and in Oxford. I have never known anybody get to the end of it and say, well, that was a waste of time. Not everybody changes their lifestyle. It encourages you to stop putting money on credit cards because you lose control and encourages you to use a bit more cash. Not everybody makes a complete U-turn in how they run their personal finances. But nobody I know has ever said that was a waste of time. Get yourself on the CAP money course. You'll be busy, David. I'm sorry if I'm over-advertising it, but I do recommend it to everyone. Old, young, rich, poor, in debt, not in debt. The CAP money course. CAP also realises that a lot of people who are in debt nowadays are in debt because they haven't got jobs. And so we've set up CAP job clubs. And we can't magically get a job for someone, but I heard the other day of somebody who, a young girl, she's a single mum, two little kids at home, and she's got an interview. And at 10 o'clock in the morning, the interview, so 9 o'clock in the morning, she wants to leave home, but one of her daughters is ill, and she can't get to the interview. Do you think she got the job? Of course she didn't. But the next time, we were there, and she rang up, and she said she got an interview the following week. My daughter's ill. And we were able to send someone to babysit the daughter to let her go to the interview, and she got the job. We help people write CVs. A lot of people, you might be a brilliant carpenter, but you might not be able to spell. And if you write the name of the company that you're applying to at the top of the form and spell it wrongly, it doesn't look good if six other brilliant carpenters all spell it right. You're going to go to the bottom of the list. So we run job clubs, and we help people to get work. And not just getting work and earning money, but the self-esteem that people get. You know, I've got a job. I'm not living on benefits anymore. I've got a job, and I'm, you know, the streetlights are on because I've got a job and I pay my taxes. The self-esteem for people who get back into work after having been unemployed. CAP job clubs. We help people into work. One of the clients I met when I was in Harrow, we knocked on his door, me and my friend, we went there to see him, and he opened the door and he said, by the way, he says, I'm a gambling addict, that's why I'm in debt. And he told me a long story about how he'd been tempted into gambling and how, of course, it didn't work, so he doubled. And of course, that horse fell as well. So he doubled again. And before you know where you are, he's borrowed from a payday lender and he's trying to pay. And he was in serious debt, age 35, earning 40-odd thousand a year as a computer programmer. Crazy situation. One of the things CAP has now set up is what we call release groups. It's not like Alcoholics Anonymous, although there are similarities. We trust Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to come, and we teach people sensibly, stage by stage, how to get off their drugs or their drink or their cigarettes or their gambling, all of which can cost an enormous amount of money. And once you get hooked on those things, then you're on the slippery slope. You can't get off. You can with the power of the Holy Spirit, and CAP release groups are helping people to do that. And finally, the last thing we do, we call them life skills courses. We find a lot of people we go and see that they're living on pizzas because they don't know how to boil an egg. And they're not eating sensible food. They're going to McDonald's instead of having something at beans on toast at home. And these are perhaps not brilliant examples, but So many people nowadays, is it because they're coming up in single-parent families and the parent hasn't had time to look after the children properly? We've got a generation coming up who haven't been brought up properly. And I don't mean like I was and going to grammar school or anything like that. It's just, we do believe it, don't we? Two parents is better than one. We've got so many one-parent families nowadays. It's so sad if there's a bereavement or a marriages do break down, I know. But so many one-parent families are honestly struggling to bring their children up. And so the children are growing up not understanding what we would call basic life skills. And so we've started courses to teach people that. And all of this in the name of Christians Against Poverty, and all based in local churches. Why should it be based in a local church? Because first we're Christians, and then we're against poverty. We're underlying everything we do, we're evangelists. Why do we want to help people out of debt? Well, because Jesus loves you. At some point, our clients normally say to us, well, look, how much is this going to cost me? And we say, it's free to you. And they say, well, how's that then? And we say, well, look, it costs us a lot of money to put it on, but we want to show you the love of Jesus. And Jesus showed his love to us. I love the tank. Jesus showed his love by what he did. He died for us. And what we're going to do is give you the services of Christians Against Poverty free to help you. Oh, this Jesus sounds really good. Can you tell me more about it? Well, yeah, do you know we've got a church barbecue on Saturday? Why don't you come? Or we've got a nativity play. Would your little girl like to be a sheep? Well, they would, you know. They can't all be Mary. So we are living Jesus in front of these people. We're giving them something that they desperately need. When Jesus came, he drew the crowds by his wonderful, wonderful healing miracles and other miracles, but healing miracles, because they didn't have the doctors, the nurses that we have today. So he drew the crowds by his healing miracles, and then he got them, he could preach to them. We've got these amazing hospitals nowadays, and doctors and GPs and the NHS. We don't need the healing miracles quite in the same way. Don't misunderstand me here. I've seen some lovely healing miracles, and please, we must all continue to pray for healing. But what doesn't the state help us with now? The state doesn't help us with money. Rather, the opposite. We're all old enough to remember Margaret Thatcher, nearly, and Have it now. Access, you know, credit card. Don't take the waiting out of wanting. Have it now. Put it on credit. Borrow. Bad, bad teaching. The state teaches us bad teaching. Bad financial management. And here is the church offering an alternative to everyone. You don't have to be a Christian to come to Christians Against Poverty. You do have to be a Christian to work for us. And what we do at some point, I must have done 100 visits to clients over the years, and without exception, we walk up their path to their front door, or you climb the concrete stairs to the tenement block, and you knock on the door, and you're praying, Holy Spirit, come with me, please, light of Jesus, fill me. And they open the door. When I was a door-to-door evangelist, which I didn't do very much because I was lousy at it, I normally go away, not interested. When I knock on the door, they say, who is it? I say, it's John from Christians Against Poverty. Oh, come in. You might be the first Christian who's ever walked into that house. What a privilege. And you're going in labeled as Christians Against Poverty. A, first a Christian, and secondly, you come to help them out of poverty. What a privilege. And yes, we help them out of poverty. There is no one that we cannot help. You can go bankrupt. You can have a debt relief order. You can work your way slowly out of debt. Or we can just teach you how to budget so you find that your debts, you can afford to pay them off. There is no one we can't help. So we help everyone. And we have the opportunity of praying with them. We offer to pray without fail before we leave. And I've never had anyone say, oh, I don't want prayer. So they're a bit surprised quite often, and they think I'm going to go home and kneel by my bed and say, "Dear Jesus." And when I just close my eyes and I pray for them 15 seconds in Jesus' name, "Oh, was that it then?" Oh, and they smile. Sometimes there's a tear. More often than not, you don't see anything, but you've prayed with them. You've opened the door to Jesus. We are evangelists under everything we do. And that's why CAP insists that all CAP services, whether it's a debt centre, a CAP money course, a release group, a job club, or a life skills centre, they're all run through Christian churches. Don't care about whether it's Baptist, Methodist, URC, even Church of England. You know, we don't, Christian church, we do this in Jesus' name because we believe it's our mandate from Jesus to do it. And I'm delighted, I'm chuffed to bits that in Wantage you're going to have a CAP money course. And if you go on it yourselves, you'll find out what it's like, you'll talk, you'll learn things about your own money that you didn't know before, and you'll then have the opportunity when you're in when you're in the pub. I was saying to Phil before, I went to a church once before. We're not a teetotal church, are we? I once said the wrong thing entirely and didn't get many takers at the end, but never mind. Wherever you meet your friends, in the Women's Institute or the library or the doctor's surgery, you can say, "Hey, I went on this money course and it was really great and I learned." One chap came to me 3 months later and he said, "Hey, John," he said, was it you that ran that money course that I came to?" And I said, "Yeah, probably." And he said, "Well, it was brilliant." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, I never knew you could have two savings accounts at two different banks." And I thought, "You idiot." And I said, "Oh, well, you do now." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, because my wife and I, we opened a new savings account at, I forget, Nationwide or Halifax or somewhere. We opened, and we've been putting £50 a month in. And do you know, after a year, when we go on holiday, we're going to have £600 in that account." And I said, "I was an accountant for 40 years. I could have worked that out myself, but thank you very much." But he said, "I've already got 150. I've only been doing it for 3 months, and it's easy." And he'd started saving £50 a month into a separate savings account for his holiday. And £600 when you come to holiday time, if he hadn't done that, you know what it's like? It gets lost. You know, the money, it easily filters away, doesn't it? He put it in this special savings account. And yeah, okay, at the moment, you only get 0. Whatever interest on it. You don't get a lot of interest. But when times return to normal, it won't just be 600. It'll be 620 or something, because there'll be some interest if you leave it. So he learned you can have more than one savings account at more than one bank. And we all knew that anyway, but you'll all learn something. So that's Christians Against Poverty and what we do. I've said all this, haven't I? We visit clients in their home. To take the... How are we doing for time, Phil? Are we all right? I just saw him move, you know. So he's still alive. He hasn't... Sorry. We negotiate with the creditors to stop them charging interest. We will get them to... We get the clients to cut up the credit card so they can't increase it anymore. And we ring up Barclaycard and we say, "Hello, Barclaycard, it's Cap here." And they say, "Oh, hello, Cap, who have you got for us now?" And we say, "I've got Mr. Smith from Wanted." He owes us £5,000. And we say, "Well, he's cut up his card. If you chase him with the bailiffs," and I could tell you stories of bailiffs. Come and meet me afterwards, so I'll tell you stories of bailiffs. If you chase him with the bailiffs, you'll get nothing because he'll go bankrupt. He's cut up his card. He won't increase it anymore. If you give us time, he'll pay off that £5,000 because he's just got a new job and he's going to pay you £250 a month for the next 6 months. That doesn't work, does it? 20 months, whatever it is. He's going to pay you off if you're patient with him. And Barclaycard now, they have respect. All the banks, all the credit card companies, now they've heard of CAP, they do what CAP want because they know the CAP is helping them to avoid bad debts. And in fact, they now give back to CAP. It's one of the increasing income streams for CAP. They give back 10% of whatever debts we collect for them. And we call it tithing. They don't quite understand the word. But they are grateful to us, A, for saving them for having bad debts, and B, because they would have had to spend time and effort and money on collecting those debts or not collecting those debts. So we've made them two big savings, and they give us some of the money back. Our clients repay their own debts through our debt management program. We have no money to pay people's debts off for them. We just help them pay their own debts off by negotiating down and teaching them how to budget so they can manage better on their own money. We see now £4 million of debt paid off, reduced every month by all our clients. Last year, out of our clients, 4,000 people got to the end of the process, far more than 4,000 in the process, going through it, paying it down. 4,000 got to the end. And every time we get to the end of I'm a step ahead. We led 1,000 individuals to Christ last year. 4,000 got out of debt. 1,000, well, they won't be the same, 1,000 out of the 4,000. But here we are as evangelists. Every time we lead someone to Christ, the person who's doing it in their home, they say the prayer, do you know what I mean? But it's not always the same prayer. Somebody says, yeah, I want to be a Christian. Yes, I want to follow Jesus. Right, well, let's just pray that the Holy Spirit comes into you. And they pray the prayer. Then the CAP person will ring head office, and head office stop work. They have a fire bell. They ring a fire bell. Everybody rushes into the communications room, and they pray for that client for 2 minutes, and then they all go back to work. Marge, I met Marge before. Marge, come and tell us, please. Do you mind? I asked Marge because I knew before that she wouldn't say no to me. Marge met somebody in CAP head office. Then just tell them about
it. So about 7 years ago, I met a woman called Ellie Gage, who happens to be the HR person for CAP. And she'd been at a conference I was at. And as we were leaving, she kind of threw up her hands in horror. And she went, oh, I've bought this whole case of books, and I've totally forgotten to give them away. So I said, well, give one to me, Ellie. I'll take one. And it's the book that's at the back, which I think John's probably going to tell you a bit about, called Nevertheless. And I brought it home, and it's a really easy read, and I was absolutely bowled over by it. But one of the other things that Ellie told me was that this fire bell that they ring in their office every time somebody becomes a Christian, that got to the point, and I think this is still the case, where it was becoming so disruptive, particularly on a Monday when a lot of people had been to church and had given their hearts to the Lord. And, you know, on Monday, the phone just kept ringing, and they had to keep stopping work to ring this fire bell and pray for the individuals. So what they do is at the end of the day, they now, you know, ring the fire bell, and they come together and they pray for every individual who's given their heart to the Lord. And I was just saying to John, and that's why he kind of pulled me in, because I go to this conference and I meet lots of organizations that are trying to help people in some way or evangelize in some way. And the thing that I've noticed is that CAP is probably the most effective organization of helping people in the day-to-day, or having a presence in the world in the day-to-day, and actually bringing people to Christ. And I'm a street pastor, so a Friday night I was out there in the streets in the rain until 2:30 in the morning. But we don't bring people to Christ. People are amazed at what we do, but we don't actually have that long-standing relationship with people where we can actually bring them to Christ. So that's the thing that's always really, really struck me. This is not just about being nice people and helping people. It's about really letting our light shine before others. So.
Thank you. Thank you. I knew you'd believe Marge if you didn't believe me. We're nearly there. Over 1,000 churches now run the CAP Money course, and tens of thousands of people have taken control of their finances because of what they learned on the CAP Money course. So that was point two. And point three is going to be what we can do to help. Our vision is to have 1,000 CAP centres, in addition to the money courses, there's already 1,000 money courses, across the country, so that everybody in the UK has access to CAP services. And to do that, we need prayer and finance. Prayer, I think, is even more important. We believe in prayer, don't we? Hands up if you don't believe in prayer. Nope, nearly good. Nobody put their hand up. Nobody. We all believe in prayer. Now, I'm an accountant, and I do maths, and I don't think God is on the same level as our maths. I don't think if 2,000 people pray, God is twice as likely to do what he's told us if 1,000 people pray. I don't think it's simple like that. But I do believe that if more people pray, there's likely to be more fruit somehow. It's not God doing what he's told. He's sovereign. He knows what to do. He does want to know that we have hearts for what he wants to do. And if we show him our heart, if our gauge goes up, if he can see what we're doing, how we're getting involved, if we pray, if we put time aside to pray for Christians against poverty, more will happen. More people will be helped out of debt. More Christians will come through because of the light they see. Jesus' light shining. Shine, Jesus, shine through Christians against poverty. The more people who pray, that will happen. Did everybody get one of these little leaflets on the way in? I've got plenty more if you didn't. Okay, there's a money side on this. We'll come on to this in a minute. But this gets you on the prayer list. If you don't mind filling your name and address, you could give me your email address if you'd rather get stuff by email, or your postal address, and Cap will send you stuff to pray for. I know you can go home and you can say, "Dear Lord, please help Cap." Amen. I think, again, focused prayers. And if a letter comes round from head office and it says, these are the things we want to pray for. We want to pray that we open a centre in Derby. Or we want to pray for, there's a lot of drug addiction in Bristol and we want to get a CAP release group going in Bristol. If CAP have set their minds on these sort of things, and there are now over 30,000 people who are on the CAP prayer list, as we call them, life changers. My banner at the back talks about life changers. These are people who have volunteered. It costs nothing to pray, does it? Bit of time. It costs nothing to pray, and it does help. We're Christians. We believe it helps. So please, if you would sign up on the prayer list, whether or not you want to give money. If you want to give money as well, I'm delighted, of course, and if you've got your bank details, great. If not, fill in your telephone number and someone from CAP will ring you during the week and say, you tick the little box, would you like to give money? Because if so, give me your bank details now you're at home. I want to say one thing. Under no circumstances am I suggesting that you give less to this church so that you can give some to CAP. I'm asking you to give up something else, and it might be, my wife, I think, gave up a latte, whatever that is. And I might give up a pint of beer quite easily, once a week. £3 a week is what we look for, or £12 a month. And we've got 30,000 life changers. We call you life changers. This book is The History of Christians Against Poverty, written by John Kirkby, our founder. It goes right back to the beginning, and it's right up to date. And I am told, I've brought dozens of copies of this, I am told I'm allowed to give you a free copy of this book to anybody who signs up. And that sounds to me a little bit like the law. And I think Jesus broadened the law. So I would like to give, in grace, a free book to anyone who would like it. And I would like to take, in grace, one of these from anyone who would like to give me one. And the two will not necessarily match exactly. I don't mind about that. So, point one, we do it because Jesus tells us to do it. Point two, it doesn't half work. We help people out of debt. We teach them how to budget. We find them jobs. We get them off addictions. We teach them all sorts of good things. It works. It's growing across the country. Point three, please, will you help? Five-minute DVD.